Amy, on this podcast, we try to always offer useful takeaways. And if you learn nothing else from us, learn this useful parenting lesson by Pampers Cruisers 360.
Pampers Cruisers 360 are the ultimate parent hack, the best diaper to use as soon as your baby starts standing or walking. Instead of ordinary diaper tabs, they have a unique 360-degree stretchy waistband that moves with your wild child.
Pampers Cruisers 360 makes it so easy to change your baby. Who probably doesn't stop moving just because they need a diaper changed? Just slide on to apply and away they go.
And fear not, parents. Pampers Cruisers 360 offers an up to 100% leak-free fit. And they just got even better with a new blowout barrier. Need we say more?
For trusted protection, trust Pampers, the number one pediatrician recommended brand. Download the Pampers Club app today and earn Pampers cash. Then redeem your Pampers cash for exclusive Pampers coupons, savings, and rewards.
Only redeemable via Pampers Club. Pampers cash has no cash value.
Welcome to Ask Margaret from What Fresh Hell, laughing in the face of motherhood, solving your parenting dilemmas one question at a time. Hello, friends. This week's question comes from Soraya, who says, is anyone else seeing this pandemic bring out potentially problematic coping mechanisms in their kids? I have twin four-year-old daughters. One of them is definitely trying to eat her feelings. She asks for sweets and cookies every 20 minutes. The other is a future candidate for hoarders. I try to pick up and throw out old cotton balls that she has thrown all over the porch as snow, and she started to melt down. She was going to miss them. Soraya, I think we can all, in a giant chorus from out here in cyberspace, say, yes, we are seeing problematic coping mechanisms in our kids. All of us are. We did an episode about the Great Regression. So a lot of kids moving backwards, potty trained kids back in diapers, kids who were sleeping through the night, waking up at night. And this is all related to, like, it's a strange kind of crisis we're in, right? Because it's not like, I was just reading a book with my sixth grader about a kid kind of living through war and, you know, there are bombs going off and there's all this danger all the time. And so the family's kind of huddled together. This is like, it's almost like regular life, but you don't go anywhere. I think the number one factor for what's going on with kids is they're feeling anxious themselves and they're picking up on a lot of ambient anxiety. But there are a couple of other factors. So my number one thing to say to you is make like Elsa and let it go to the degree that you can. I had a kid who was a crazy hoarder. I mean, when he was 3-4 years old, he was like a squirrel. He would, everywhere he went, his pockets would be full. He put it in his bed. If I tried to move it out of his bed, he would freak out. And he would sleep in this bed full of stuff. If I can find a picture of it, I will put it up because it's LOL. But I mean, the reason why I took a picture of it is because I was like, this isn't going to last. And I wanted to have a record of it. So he went through this when I say hoarding, listen, guys, I'm not even a little bit joking. At some point, I went up to his bunk bed and he had one of those candidates yard signs in his bed with him with the stick on it. I mean, crazy. Guess what happens to a hoarding phase? It ends. Same thing, I think, with the kid looking for sweets and comfort. I mean, I am definitely not one to point fingers on making poor choices in nutrition during the pandemic. I'm like, we can bake our way out of this thing and eat baked goods out of this thing. All that being said, I do have a kid who ended up kind of sick from really not eating enough and not exercising enough during this time. And so it's a good idea, I think, at this time to relax, realize there's a reason it's happening, and then move your parameters out a bit and then hold again. Behavior that is outside of your limits, such as for my kid, he figured out how to use the blender and was literally making like 4 milkshakes a day. I finally had to say, you can have a milkshake every single day until this is over, but you can have one. Because going from 4 to 1 made a huge difference. Same thing with basically the dinner free-for-alls. I started saying, okay, 3 nights a week, I need to commit to making a healthy dinner that involves a lot of vegetables so that the other couple of nights that are free for all, we're kind of balancing it out. So I think find a new happy place that is somewhere in the middle. I think try to help your kids as much as possible with dealing. And I went to Childmind Institute, and here are a couple of things, a couple of suggestions that they had that resonated with me. Keep a routine in place. So I think this is sort of important. Like we said on the regression episode, like your kids are looking for safety and boundaries from you because they're very anxious about what's going on. So keep bedtime the same. Make them sit down to dinner three nights a week. Refine the structure because some of the acting out is like, what are the rules? Is the world upside down? You know, are cats lying down with dogs? They're not. Everything's pretty much the same, but we're in a difficult situation. Reinforce that with them. Big thing in my family, get exercise. It seems really obvious, but I realized now it's nicer outside. I'm in New York, but especially on like the cold, rainy days, my kids would sit upstairs and do homeschool from 9 to 11. Then we would break 11 to 1 and they would have lunch and play, you know, something. And then 1 to 3. And then after that, they would get a screen break. And then after that, it was dinner. And I have a kid who really likes to work with Legos. And I realized maybe 3 weeks in, he has not had any real exercise in weeks because his downtime is sitting and playing with Legos. And so make sure you are running those kids like wild horses because they need the exercise and find ways to make that happen. It helps with anxiety. And then manage your own anxiety, limit your consumption of news. So like the less you can work yourself up about this. And I think as we go forward and it seems the whole thing seems a little bit more like, okay, maybe we can deal with this. This gets easier. And then the last tip they had, which I liked, and we've started really doing this, is make plans. So we talk a lot about structuring our days, having the whiteboard for anxious kids. This is what's going to happen, then that's what's going to happen. And so they're just kind of moving through a formula that feels comfortable for them. But I would add to this idea of making plans. And the plans can be really simple. And I know some places are opening, some places are not opening, but our plans might be, there's an ice cream shop three towns away, and we're going to drive there on Saturday afternoon because they have that kind of ice cream that you usually only get upstate. An example from my life. And so all week, Saturday is something to look forward to. And I think, again, it just helps restructure. It's not just like every day is the same and I'm so anxious that I have to hold on to my cotton balls. Every day is the same and I'm so anxious that I have to eat sweets to calm down. We're all feeling that. But as much as you can push back against that, listen to the Great Regression episode. I think that's going to help you out. And mostly, Soraya, I would say it's a phase. This too shall pass. Keep your boundaries in place, but give a little bit more room for it just to say like, yep, we all need a little extra comfort right now, but we're not going to go to a place where we're going to make ourselves sick or develop really bad habits. And then you've got this. We're all going through the same thing, I promise. I hope that helped. And if you have a question for myself or Amy, you can submit them to questions@whatfreshhellpodcast.com. You can ask them in our Facebook group at facebook.com/whatfreshhellcast. Yeah, those are the two things you can do. All right, thanks guys. Talk to you next time. Stay well.
When it comes to raising kids, there's so much to consider. Things like, what do we feed them? When do we feed them? How do they sleep? What does it look like to raise kind kids? How does their nervous system work? How do I keep myself calm? What are my triggers? There's so much that comes into play. And we are distilling all of that information for you at Voices of Your Village podcast, where we bring experts in the field of early childhood and education and psychology and across the board so that you don't have to comb the internet for information. You get to show up and hang out and have shame-free, judgment-free conversations and insights into what it looks like to raise kind, empathetic, emotionally intelligent humans. I'm Alyssa Blask Campbell. I have a master's degree in early childhood education. I'm a mom of two, and I am walking this journey right alongside you doing this work. Come hang out with me at Voices of Your Village, and we can dive into real conversations with actionable tips.
Hey there, I'm Debbie Reber, the founder of Tilt Parenting and the author of the book Differently Wired. The mission of Tilt is to change the way neurodivergence, whether that's having a learning disability, having ADHD, being gifted, autistic, or some combination of all of the above, is perceived and experienced, so differently wired kids and the parents like us raising them can truly thrive. On the Tilt Parenting Podcast, I get to talk with authors, therapists, educators, and parenting experts who are committed to this mission. I ask the questions my listeners are most curious about when it comes to supporting our kids. And in turn, my guests share strategies for challenges, out-of-the-box ideas for navigating school, best practices for therapies, tips for advocating, and so many thoughtful insights on what it really takes to help our kids grow up feeling seen and respected so they can create awesome lives for themselves. I know that raising a differently wired kid can feel overwhelming and isolating, but I promise you, you are not alone, and it can feel so much better. If you're on this parenting journey, come listen to Tilt Parenting. Together, we can shift this paradigm and show up for our exceptional kids with hope, possibility, and joy.